In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Church today, Bernadette Sophia. She now is numbered among the saints. She stands, she sits in the community of believers. As we enter or draw near to the great Lent, we have, as this last preparatory Sunday, the Sunday referred to as the expulsion of Adam from paradise. Let's try to recall the first three chapters of Genesis, either in its English translation from Hebrew or the Septuagint. You know the Hebrew and the Greek, that's even better. First of all, where is paradise in these three chapters? What part of the creation? In the east. Why is the east important? Not because of Eastern Orthodox. Why is the east important? The sun rises in the east. The sun shines from the east. What is paradise? Kazan, what's paradise?
Communion with God.
Communion with God. Is that what you're going to say? All right. Paradise is communion with God. And in these chapters, by the way, how is that communion expressed? First of all, paradise is a place, is a space in which God and his creation communes. Paradise is a space, is a place where God and humanity are in communion with each other. How is that communion expressed? Any ideas?
Nakedness.
And nakedness? And that nakedness signifies what?
Openness.
Openness. But you're getting ahead of the story. I am looking for something much more basic.
Conversation.
There's conversation. And what else? What else happens in space? In place?
They walk together.
They walk together. Listen to how Genesis from the Septuagint expresses this. And God planted a garden, a paradise, a paradison, in Eden, in the east, and there he put man whom he had formed. How did he put man in this paradise? We can imagine. The text forces us to think about God and man walking together into this garden planted in the east where the sun rises. And then when God creates woman, he puts upon Adam a trance, ecstasy, and Adam sleeps, and God creates a woman from one of Adam's ribs, and God brings the woman to Adam. God brings the woman to Adam. Again, we can imagine God and the woman, arm in arm, walking to the garden to be presented to Adam. So paradise is the place of communion. It is the place of openness, signified by nakedness, by innocence. That nakedness signifies innocence, purity. It signifies a true eros, an eros which is all-embracing, which which is not manipulative, which is not deceitful, which is not destructive. Paradise is that place, is that space where humanity, man and woman, commune with each other and with God. And it is in that communion of persons that this garden is so wonderful. It is with that communion of persons that paradise is precisely what it is, why it is given, why it is created, so that God and humanity have that context in which to embrace one another. Now, what happens in this space, in this paradise, in this garden planted in the east? A catastrophe occurs, yes? What is that catastrophe? The eating of the fruit. It's very interesting for those who are familiar with the works of St. John of Damascus and St. Maximus the Confessor. There are others, but these two come immediately to mind. They stress that eventually this fruit would have been offered to the man and the woman. But in their present state, they were too immature to handle all the knowledge of good and evil. They had to be prepared. They had to grow. Prematurely, the fruit is taken, and what happens? Innocence is lost. And with that lost innocence, what else occurs? There's a break in communion, a break with God, a break of communion between man and woman. Never forget that it is only when we get to those events after the fall that the woman is subservient, that the woman becomes inferior to the male. Communion is broken. How is that communion, that broken communion, expressed in these early chapters of Genesis? And this will support the idea of walking. What does the text say? God walks in the paradise. He is looking for Adam. And what happens in this space that is created for union and communion of persons, in this space that is created so that God and humanity can have one life together? What does Adam do?
He hides.
He hides. This is the great catastrophe. He hides, and what happens after that? There begins a dialogue, yes, between God and the man and the woman. What does the man say? Yes. But before we even get to that, what does Eve do? She puts the blame on whom?
The serpent.
On the serpent. The serpent. So she puts the blame on the serpent, Adam puts the blame on the woman. And what is life? What is the great tragedy that occurs in this sacred space, this place of communion, this space of, and I've used this word before, of perichoresis, of the interpenetration of persons? There's no repentance. No repentance. And instead of having the interpenetration of persons, we have polarity of persons. And humanity finds itself outside of paradise, outside of that garden, outside of where the sun rises. He is placed outside for what reason? To remain there or to return? To return. To return. And we, as we now stand on the threshold, at the threshold of the great Lent, we who are participants in the new covenant, we who stand, by the way, in the paradise which is more brilliant, even if we didn't have these beautiful rays shining through the windows, we stand in a paradise more brilliant than the paradise described in Genesis. Why? Because we are the new creation. We are the body of Christ. We stand or sit before the incarnate Word and Son of God. And yet here we are in this paradise, recalling, remembering, not only as a memory, but being connected to this event. Why? How is that possible? We who are numbered among the saints, Bernadette, you have just been received into the community of the saints, and now we are talking about expulsion. Why? Why are we being presented with this event, with this reality? If we are the community of the saints, if we are the ones who commune with the living God, if we are the ones who abide in the east where the sun rises and pours its uncreated divinity upon us, why do we remember this event? I'm sorry? We must repent. Why must we repent?
We're still falling.
Because we, who are in the body of Christ, fall. Fall. And because we fall, we are encouraged to get up. And the only way to get up is to repent. Now let us look, and this is the end of what I have to say thus far. What is repentance? Certainly we can say it is the changing of the mind, it is changing of direction. And these are fundamental to the understanding of repentance. Especially this term which has been used many times here in this sacred space, epistrephe, to turn around, to literally change our physical orientation. We face the east again. We face the sun. We face the triune and tripersonal God, seeking to draw near and to enter into that life. So there is that dimension of repentance. But what else can we say? Repentance is, in the spiritual literature of our church, referred to either as the return to baptism or the second baptism. Repentance reminds us that when we have fallen, we have broken that communion with the one who has clothed us with himself. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When we come to our senses, when we wake up and are able to change the mind and change our physical direction from darkness to light, we remember that not only are we clothed with Christ, but we have been sealed with the Spirit. We have received the gift of God, the Spirit itself. When we wake up and move from the darkness to the light, we recall that because we have put on Christ and have received the gift of the Spirit, we are children of the Father. Our sin, our fallenness breaks that relationship. And though God will never cease to love us, it is our sin that signifies that we cease to love Him. So as we prepare to enter into the Great Lent, we have to remember that we are entering into what is normal for the Christian life. And as I repeat again and again, Lent cannot be seen as the time of prayer, repentance, and charity. This is what we must be doing all the time. Lent is also the school that returns us to where we were, to where we were when we emerged from the baptismal font. Lent returns us to that relationship which we have to continuously cultivate, not just during these 40 days, but until our last breath on this side of the grave. We have to cultivate this new life which continues to grow and never ceases, continues to grow for all eternity. This new life we have with God, this new life we have with each other. So here we are, brothers and sisters, remembering the expulsion of Adam from paradise, remembering, that is, coming to our senses that we too, who have received Christ, the Spirit, and have become children of the Father, we too have fallen, and that even though we stand and sit in this sacred space, in this sacred place, our sin places us in exile. And it is only because Christ calls us to draw near that we can rise, that we can truly put off all that we have accumulated from the old life. We can put all of that off and recover and rediscover what it means to stand in paradise, to walk with God, to be in communion and with each other now and forever. Amen.